What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing away from the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. What's new since the last time we spoke? Anything?
Nothing.
I mean, every day's kind of the same now.
So. I mean, it's like levels of depression. You know, it's like now, you know, Eric Garcetti, who's the mayor in Los Angeles, is talking about not having these large gatherings until 2021. And then apparently he kind of stepped back from that statement. I'm just getting to a point where I miss sports so much that I will never take it for granted ever again, because it has been brutal not being able to watch sports. At least we can still cover it. And every time I put the news on, it's something more and more saddening.
I don't watch the news. I try to limit my Twitter intake.
It's tough, man. I miss the escape. I really do.
I try to limit my Twitter intake. I don't really watch the news as much. You know, I try to read a couple things, but I try to walk that line between being informed and being overloaded. But I'll ask you this though: if this will be the test of how much you miss sports, did you watch Horse on ESPN?
No, I did not.
Okay,
I did not watch. I did not watch Horse on ESPN. No.
So you're still sort of on the border. Like that was one that was for people who were like super thirsty.
Rather spend my time like doing research on the rookies for the draft than watching Horse. And if I put Horse on the television, Anna probably wouldn't be too thrilled about that. So, because remember, I also have Matthew too, who's 9 years old, and you're trying to watch stuff that everyone's going to be able to enjoy at this point because everyone's home.
Yeah. So I saw people tweeting about Horse, and I'm like, I can't jump.
I would rather go outside and play Horse with Matthew than watch dudes play Horse on TV.
But like, yeah, and the thing, they weren't even on the same court. Like, you know, one person's in their driveway, the other person's in their driveway, and like, it was not. I couldn't. I know people did it. Good on you, I guess, if you sat through it, but I couldn't do that. So. Yeah. Well, speaking of prospects, we will continue our draft previews. Today is the running backs. Got some news and notes to talk about as well. But before we do that, let's talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, did you watch Horse at all?
No, you guys are talking about not watching the news, but my girlfriend works in the news, so that channel is on constantly, which is miserable for me. I try every second to just keep lowering the volume, or what I did now is I bring in a second TV and I'll use my gaming headset to play like PlayStation or something when I'm not working, just to kind of distract myself from it, because it does get monotonous. And I know it's a crazy time and you want to be up to date with stuff, but it's like, how much can they really update us? Like, I'm pretty good at taking it one day at a time. I'm not getting too upset over stuff that may or may not happen in September, October, November. You know, 5 months ago we wouldn't have guessed where we'd be right here today. So I'm just good at being like, you know, one day at a time, let's just see what happens. But yeah, it's crazy with the news being on. You have to just kind of, you're being consumed by it, and it's making you just go like, oh man, this stinks, like let's just get out of this. But it's did not watch Horse. I've not really watched any sports at all. I'm just trying to catch up on shows and movies and stuff like that.
And yesterday WWE released like 20 wrestlers.
Yeah,
they furloughed, and I gotta be honest, guys, I mean, if things don't improve, that's the direction that's gonna be sort of taken in this country, and we've already seen it with so many people unemployed. It's just, at least we have this podcast, and hopefully that helps sort of keep people out of the darkness for at least half an hour, 45 minutes, at what's been one of the most trying times in the history of our planet.
Yeah, it's funny. I've created sort of a standing Zoom happy hour with some friends. We get online every Wednesday night. We sit around on our, you know, computers or phones, and we, you know, have drinks and talk about what's going on. And we sort of decided last night that not only is every day the same day, but I felt like it's like a Tuesday. Like there's nothing remarkable about it. It's not like a Friday or a Sunday or anything like that. It's just a Tuesday. It's just kind of like, ugh, that's how every day feels right now.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Let's try to make this, you know, quote unquote Tuesday a little bit better for everybody. And let's do some news.
through the news.
Starting in Cincinnati, obviously the big news in Cincinnati is what they were likely to do in the draft exactly a week from now. We are 7 days away from the start of the NFL draft, and everybody expecting, of course, the Bengals to take Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick. But a different Joe may be causing some headlines there. Joe Mixon, who reportedly is prepared for a holdout. This is per The Athletic. If he can't get a long-term deal, I mean, Fabs, we just saw Christian McCaffrey get a big-time extension. But at the same time, in the last couple of years, we've seen Melvin Gordon hold out. We've seen Le'Veon Bell hold out. And I think you could say the results for those guys, mixed at best, bad probably, if you depending on who you talk to. I mean, Joe Mixon potentially holding out. I mean, look, again, this is with the caveat that we have football in September, because otherwise everybody's essentially holding out. But Joe Mixon, I feel like he's going to have a hard case to try and get the kind of money he's looking for. And if he does hold out, does this mean Gio Bernard is worth looking at now?
I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there. To be quite honest with you, it's and I understand Joe's sort of point of view.
Oh, yeah,
running
absolutely.
Backs don't get paid a lot of times. And they should. Right. I mean, McCaffrey aside, Zeke aside, a lot of times teams devalue running backs. And so I can completely understand why he wants to go out there and get paid. I just don't know that that's the best time for this kind of thing to come out. People are right now struggling. And to me, I actually will reach out to Joe because he follows me on Twitter. So we go back and forth from time to time. But I hope that he goes in there. Hopefully we have a season. He comes out and just absolutely crushes it and then gets what he deserves in terms of a contract in the future. He's one of the brightest young running backs from an athletic standpoint, from a statistical standpoint that we have in the league. So I would think he will get paid at some point, but right now is a very weird and rough time for news of this nature to actually come out.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely in terms of, you know, I guess the popular phrase right now is read the room sort of thing in terms of that, and I mean, there's so many ways to look at it, right? I mean, one, obviously, there are a lot of people who certainly aren't going to feel sorry for Joe Mixon trying to get himself a few extra bucks. I think from a football standpoint, I'm with you. I understand it. I get why running backs who take a brunt of the punishment and who do a lot of the work want to try to get paid as such. Sure. I mean, the argument about whether or not they deserve it is like my head hurts too much to try to get into that one right now. But I think from a football perspective, I struggle to think that the Bengals are going to sort of acquiesce to his demands right now. And, you know, if there is a football season, I suspect that if he's really willing to do this, that we may not see Joe Mixon on the field, which sort of opens up a hole in that backfield, which is sort of unfortunate because in the back half of last season, Fabs, he was awesome. Turned things around.
He was awesome.
He struggled at the start of the year. Back half of the season, he was very, very good.
Really good.
You know, and so I think obviously he's trying to capitalize on that momentum, and sure. This may be one that sort of blows up in his face potentially. Mm-hmm. This is not news, but it's sort of a rumor that was flying around, and you and I thought it'd be fun to kind of kick around a little bit.
Yep.
Reports are the Minnesota Vikings may be trying to swing a trade for one Odell Beckham Jr., which would make, the second time in a couple of years? I mean, he's not quite verging on Brandon Cooks territory, but he's starting to get moved around a little bit. Uh-huh. All the particulars still kind of up in the air. And again, like, this is very much rumor, but it's something fun to talk about in a time where we're sort of dry for news. OBJ to Minnesota. I mean, that's interesting, right? You pair him up with Adam Thielen. You put him with Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that push him back to being a mid-second round pick potentially if he goes to Minnesota?
Yeah, potentially. I would actually like that from a fantasy perspective, catching passes from Kirk Cousins. Now, Minnesota changed their offense quite a bit last season. Remember, mm-hmm. they went into the whole ground and pound with Dalvin Cook, especially to start the season. But I would feel like in Stefanski's offense, I don't know that OBJ is going to end up being more than a high wide receiver too, because of the way that Stefanski runs his offense. He's big on 12 personnel. They added Austin Hooper. They have Jarvis Landry. They have a lot of pass catchers, a lot of mouths to feed, where Minnesota doesn't. Right now, they've got Adam Thielen and Tajay Sharp and BC Johnson and Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. So OBJ goes there, he automatically becomes the favorite to lead that team in targets. So I would think his value would go up. I actually would like to see this move. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was started, I believe, by Mark Malusis over at WFAN, who I used mm-hmm. to know years and years ago. But I would like to see this move. I mean, I'd love to see OBJ go someplace else because I just don't know that he's going to succeed in Cleveland like he did statistically in New York. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
Well, especially because the Browns keep adding pieces, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I know that we neither one of us were excited about Austin Hooper going to Cleveland, but it is potentially one more target. It's one more guy mm-hmm. To throw the football to on top of, you know, having Jarvis Landry and David Njoku and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I mean, there's just so many guys there to feed. Yep. And it's going to be difficult. Now, the flip side of this, you talk about the ground and pound that they sort of went to in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins himself has said he favors some more power sets in the offense because Stephon Diggs isn't there, which mm-hmm. in theory means you feature Dalvin Cook a little bit more, that you put a fullback in, that maybe you're running a couple of more tight ends. Does that change? Does he change his mind maybe if O'Neal shows up in town? I would think that he does.
Yeah.
He would, you know, hey, let's throw the football a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
I mean, the Vikings rank sixth worst in the leagues in terms of offensive plays run last season, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. going to be the result of you know, running the football. But they did rank 10th in yards per play, and no team in the NFL ran 11 personnel less last year than Minnesota. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, Stefanski, right? They liked mm-hmm. he liked to run the 12. That was about 35% of the time. Things are going to change now with Gary Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, and if they bring in this talented player like Odell Beckham Jr., that offense is going to completely change. You don't bring that guy in, especially with what you're going to have to pay to get him in terms of draft capital. Right. And he would come in and things would change drastically, and I think Kirk Cousins would probably change his tune.
I completely agree with that. Elsewhere, the Bucks reportedly are shopping O.J. Howard in a potential trade. I mean, I have mixed feelings about this because on the one hand, I think a lot of us, I know I was feeling like having Tom Brady there was going to boost O.J. Howard's value, that maybe this is when he finally turns the corner and becomes the fantasy tight end we all want. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we know that he's sharing snaps and potentially targets with Cameron Brate. So maybe, Fabs, there's a chance he goes somewhere, a place that needs a tight end. You know, we talked on Tuesday about places like Washington, Green Bay, what have you, looking for a tight end. Maybe he goes somewhere where he gets a chance to play and get some targets. I guess that's the upside that we're hoping for.
If we assume that Bruce Arians is going to be the head coach in Tampa Bay for many years to come, then O.J. Howard to exceed or even just meet his expectations from a fantasy perspective needs to get out of town. Bruce Arians has had very few tight ends actually thrive statistically. Like, for example, I think Heath Miller had some pretty good seasons under Arians during the time in Pittsburgh together. It's not an offense that's super tight end friendly. So if he went to, I don't know, Marcus, off the top of my head, Washington, that would be mm-hmm. a great fit. If he went to Green Bay, Jay Sternberger, truthers, that might be a pretty good fit for him too. And Tampa Bay does have a lot of options there. I think they're going to add more in the draft. So to me, moving on, change of scenery would be good for O.J. Howard.
How about this? What if the Bucks shipped O.J. Howard up to New England? They get some combination of draft picks, and they bring Brady's old friend Julian Edelman down, right?
Oh, what geez. Now you're really talking fantasy.
what if Jeremy Renner comes to join Ben Affleck in Florida?
In Tangerine,
right?
Florida? Oh man.
Right.
I don't know that that's happening. But
I don't think it's happening either.
I can't have any faith in anyone catching passes in New England until I know who the heck the quarterback is going to be. And if it's Jared Stidham, oh boy, that's going to be rough.
Yeah. So the Chiefs have added a running back. They signed former Raider DeAndre Washington, who was always sort of a nice piece, but never was really a major feature in that Oakland, I guess now Las Vegas, offense that they got down there. Look, it's still, I think, a sort of muddled situation. Damian Williams appears to be the lead there, but Washington potentially gets some opportunities. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Chiefs very well could draft a running back. I think that could – maybe that's because I have somebody projected there. We'll get to that a little bit later. But, look, this – I don't know that this does much for you other than, you know, having be waiver wire fodder in the event that you need somebody midway through the season.
I think it speaks more on the increased value of Jalen Richard in Las Vegas because now he moves up on that depth chart. But I think the Chiefs very well could draft a running back. What is the one piece they're missing? I get it. Like, Damian Williams has although he's been unreliable from a fantasy perspective, he's been really good over the last couple of seasons at times, and a lot of people argue that he should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. He's played well. When he's played well, he's been extremely good. And then there's been times, again, where last season, committee situation, LeSean McCoy was in the mix, people are talking about Daryl Henderson and Darwin Thompson. I mean, there's a lot of running backs there in Kansas City, but what do they not have? That elite running back who could be a three-down guy that you pair with Tyreek and Kelsey and Mahomes. Maybe it's J.K. Dobbins. Maybe they draft him. That could be a fit. I've seen mock drafts where they've taken a running back with their first round pick, the last pick in the first round. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this backfield is muddled right now. Damian Williams is probably the best fantasy option out of the group, but I don't know that backfield is done in terms of its evolution and its personnel.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to add some more pieces. I think they're still trying to find a consistent answer there now. And I mean, certainly DeAndre Washington, he's not that guy, but he could be a nice piece depending on what they do going forward. Speaking of running backs, Mark Ingram says he plans to run strong for, quote, 4 or 5 years. I mean, look, he was very good last year in Baltimore. There's nothing to say he can't be very good again this year. I mean, I wish him all the best, Fabs, but the way running backs go right now, I mean, the way teams use running backs and the way they're sort of treated in the market suggests it may be hard for a guy like Mark Ingram to be a strong, productive frontline running back for 4 or 5 years, because I just don't know that somebody will give him the opportunity to
Who's
do
this
that.
Who's this guy think he is? Frank Gore? I mean,
right?
I hope he does about 5 years. Now, the thing that he's got going for him is that early in his career, he didn't get used a ton. Right, I mean, he had some injuries, but it wasn't like he was a massive workhorse back. But we've learned in the past that once you get to that ripe old age of 30 among running backs, unless you're a Frank Gore or Adrian Peterson or Curtis Martin, the decline is coming. And so I would say you could probably get another year or two of really good production from Mark Ingram, and after that, heck, who's to say that the Ravens don't draft a running back? At some point, they're going to, especially in that offense that just runs the ball so much. So running hard and producing big numbers, probably two different things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of it. Again, I wish him the best. I hope he can. I'd love to see it. I mean, I like seeing these guys produce and be fruitful for a long time. But, you know, like we sort of talked about with Joe Mixon and his holdout and the way running backs get paid in this league. Unfortunately, sadly, I think a lot of people are sort of looking at them as replaceable commodities, and eventually that may happen to Mark Ingram as well. Last little bit of news. You've seen this probably floating around on your Twitter timelines, but the NFL is still planning to release its full schedule. I think May 9th is the purported date that's going to come out. So, you know, it's a little bit later than normal because normally schedule release is actually
right
about this time of year.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It's right about now, but they've pushed it back to May, so it comes after the draft. Now, Fabs, I know I've read from several sources that it is going to be a full schedule that's released, but apparently it's built this year so that it can be collapsed if need be in the event that the season is pushed back, it's delayed, it's shortened for whatever reason. I mean, it'll be interesting. And again, that, you know, at least in May will give us something to talk about. We'll talk about the schedule, talk about bye weeks and that sort of thing. So I guess it's something to kind of keep an eye out for.
From a fantasy standpoint, we already know the opponents. So,
right.
I mean, I've already written my strength of schedule stuff, and that'll come out when the schedule comes out. But the thing that we're looking for from a fantasy standpoint is who plays who down the stretch in the fantasy postseason. And that could increase or decrease players' values based on that. I mean, we've seen it in the past. I mean, a guy who has a very favorable schedule in the fantasy postseason is going to see a little bit of an increase in terms of his draft capital for sure. So that is where fantasy owners need to be paying the most attention, because again, we already know that the teams, what opponents each team is going to be facing this coming season.
Yeah, of course, you know, as much as we try to project that stuff too, it's always interesting because things change so much. And a postseason schedule that might have looked great at the start of the season could look a little bit shaky by the time we actually get to the fantasy postseason. But, you know, it's something to talk about.
That's right. Knows.
So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, part two of our, or 2A? I don't know. I don't know if you count. Last one is two parts. Whatever. Anyway, the next part of our NFL draft preview, we're looking at running backs. I put together a list of, how many count? Six guys, and then maybe a couple extra names just to sort of mention at the end. But these are the six guys that are probably getting the most run right now throughout Twitter. About where they could go, what's going to happen. So the first one, obviously, DeAndre Swift. He has been maybe the headliner in this group the whole draft season. Obviously, a guy who's projected in the first round. Some of the knocks on him, that people wonder if he has the great overall long speed. He does have some capabilities to be a three-down guy. Right now, I've seen him mocked to Miami. That's right around 26 since the Dolphins have three picks. Do you think that's the best fit? Is there somewhere else? I'll tell you where I think I'll let you go and I'll tell you where I would like to see him land that I think would be fun. But, you know, is it Miami? Is it somewhere else that you think he's the best fit?
The two most attractive places for one of these stud running backs to fall is Miami or Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Because the need is immediate. I mean, I get it that Jordan Howard is in Miami, so maybe a featured role isn't going to be right on the plate right away. But the Dolphins need a future running back who can go out there and be a playmaker. And I think Swift fits that bill. I believe he's the number one running back on Dana Jeremiah's top 50 list. He's reliable enough as a blocker that he can be a three-down back. And to me, it's either going to be him or Jonathan Taylor. There may only be one running back going in the first round, which is the complete opposite of a fantasy draft. But
right.
I feel like those two, if there's going to be a pair, it'll be those two. Maybe the second goes to Kansas City a little bit later in the first round. But Miami would be a good fit for Swift, who comes out of a system in Georgia that over the years has produced a lot of really good fantasy running backs.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the recent years, they've had Todd Gurley with Nick Chubb. You know, now DeAndre Swift potentially going
to
be the next
one. Hell, we can go back to Rodney Hampton, bro, and Herschel Walker. I mean, you want to go down the memory lane, yeah.
Yeah, Garrison Hurst. I mean, we can go back a ways for running backs coming out of the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. I did my own mock. You can buy, shameless plug. Go to NFL.com/predict the pick. You can go in and predict how you think the first round of the draft is going to go. I think you can win Super Bowl tickets if you get all of them right, which good luck with that. But
I know, right?
I did one. I have a little video coming out for that, I think the next day or two. But I sort of mocked one up where the Dolphins, you know, they don't go after Swift. Instead, they take Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. And I've got DeAndre Swift going to Kansas City. I mean, we talked about the Chiefs going after DeAndre, or signing DeAndre Washington and what they might do. But having Swift back there, a guy who can be a little bit of a do-it-all guy who catches the football effectively, having him run those RPOs with Patrick Mahomes in the backfield. And we saw in the playoffs, Mahomes running the football a little bit more effectively, which certainly adds to his value and adds to his ability. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you have him faking handoffs to DeAndre Swift or giving the ball to Swift. An offense that was already lights out might become damn near unstoppable.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got. I'll say this, regardless of where he goes, if it's Miami, if it's Tampa, if it's Kansas City, what have you, do you think he ends up as a top 50 pick in redrafts this year?
If he ends up in Miami or Tampa Bay, I mean, even in Kansas City, I could see it. I could potentially see that, yes. Because you know how much we as a fantasy industry love those young running backs with upside who have been giving an opportunity to be the man. And we've seen rookie running backs come in and make impacts more than any other position in fantasy football. So Yeah, Swift would probably be a top 50 pick. Maybe if he's in Miami, I would say the best case scenario is Tampa Bay, though, because I think Jordan Howard is going to get touches regardless. And in Tampa Bay, as much as they want to talk up Ronald Jones, all they have to do is bring in a guy like Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift. And I feel like the love for Ronald Jones could fade somewhat. So,
yeah,
I would say top 50 for both of those backs is very likely in redrafts, unless they land in spots where it's just, you know, Pittsburgh. So, like, as much as I love a guy like J.K. Dobbins or Taylor, I mean, if one of those guys ends up in Pittsburgh, that'll be a mess for 2020. And then moving forward, the value will go up because James Conner's in a contract year, and I don't know if they would bring him back.
Yeah, which I know, like, you know, the early talk is that, you know, they may look somewhere else. You know, Conner has done some good things, but his health has just been a concern.
Yep.
And I think that could lead the Steelers to kind of think of some other options there. So let's talk about Jonathan Taylor, though. I mean, he's another guy who, look, there's a chance he slides in at the very end of the first round. More than likely, he's probably coming off the board in the second round. I mean, the thing about Jonathan Taylor, huge numbers in college.
Huge.
12 games with 200 or more rushing yards, just a ton of – I think he had 300 touches pretty much every year that he was at Wisconsin. Right. Incredible numbers. So that's the good. The bad, though, is because he had all those touches, Fabs, everybody's sort of worried about his workload and the wear and tear that they put on his body there in Madison. But I think in terms of just straight-up ability, I mean, he's another one, right? Whether he goes in the first round to, say, a Miami or a Tampa or a Kansas City, he looks to me like a guy who comes in and can immediately get on the field and immediately see a fairly significant workload wherever he goes this year.
Yeah, elite prospect at that position who was tremendous in the combine, did nothing but improve his stock to the point where it is either going to be Taylor or Swift who will be the first running back drafted.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So one of those two will be, and I would think if there are multiple backs taken in the first round, it will be those two. So again, all depending on where he ends up, Tampa Bay would be a really good fit. Miami would be a really good fit. Pittsburgh long-term would be a really good fit. But the one concern with him is that he has had a lot of work at college, a lot of work. But he also proved that he's a three-down back, and he's a special kind of guy. He's someone who can go out there and potentially end up being, you know, a top 10, a top 15 fantasy running back in future seasons.
I know that the debate has been, who is your top rookie running back? Is it Jonathan Taylor? Is it DeAndre Swift? Do you lean one way or another right now?
Yeah, I have Swift ranked number one.
Okay.
So and Taylor is a very close two. So I would project that Swift would end up getting drafted ahead of Taylor. But a lot of people out there love Jonathan Taylor and love what he can bring to the table. So time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to lean toward Taylor, but I don't, you know, I'm not pounding the table, you know, arguing one way or another. I feel like it really is a coin flip. Both guys are pretty close to one another. A guy who is starting to get even more buzz, who had some buzz, but now is getting super buzzy in the last couple of days, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You can call him Clyde the Glide. You can call him CEH. You can call him whatever you want, but I'm pretty sure somebody's going to be calling his name on day two of the draft. Really helped himself out at the combine catching the football. Our pal Graham Barfield tweeted yesterday that he thinks that CEH is a route runner from the running back position on par or close to Christian McCaffrey, which is a really big compliment. I know people worried sort of about his ability in pass protection, but I mean, look, guys who catch the football now, Fabs, as a running back have a lot of value. We know he can be a tough physical runner. Do you have a particular landing spot that you think would be best for him for fantasy this year?
So what people need to realize about Clyde the Glide is that he is not going to be a featured back at the next level. He's just not.
Right.
I mean, he's my height. Like, he's not a big, and when you're, I mean, unless you're built like Maurice Jones-Drew, which, you know, Clyde is not, you're not going to be a featured back at 5'8 most of the time. So he would come in and sort of be the pass catching Darren Sproles kind of, and I can compare him to Darren Sproles, when Sproles was in his prime, remember, Darren Sproles was a really good fantasy player.
Absolutely.
No question about that. Now, I think he's better. He's got more athletic ability than Darren Sproles. But yeah, as you mentioned, Graham had said, a really good route runner, tremendous pass catcher. He's going to be a complimentary back. He's not going to be a featured back. He's not going to be a guy like Jonathan Taylor who's expected to come in and be a three-down back, or like a Swift who's expected to come in and potentially be a three-down back. He's going to be that guy who's going to be utilized in the passing game, probably lined up in the slot. He's going to be somebody that teams are going to try to make him a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses. So teams that could potentially – I mean, let's put it this way, Marcus. If Miami is happy with Jordan Howard as their hammer – and they bring in the glide, that would be a good fit, because you would see that committee scenario that I think we're going to see in Miami, where you know you've got one guy who's got one skill set who's going to be used near the goal line, who's going to be utilized running inside the tackles, and then you've got another guy who's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield and being utilized in that aspect of the offense. So that's where he's going to be best fit. He's not going to go to a team that doesn't already have sort of that pounding, you know, the guy who's going to run between the tackles, that kind of running back in place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at like the places I've seen him projected to. I mean, it's a wide range. Mm-hmm. I've seen the Rams in the second round, which would basically pair him with Darrell Henderson. Mm-hmm. I've seen the Lions, which means he would be kind of working alongside Kerryon Johnson. Mm-hmm. I've seen the Falcons, which would be sort of interesting. I guess he puts him alongside Todd Gurley, which would sort of dampen my dreams of Todd Gurley catching more passes if CEH ends up there as well. But I think you're right. I think that sort of applies to the rest of the backs that we're going to talk about. These are guys that are probably going to be committee backs. I think Swift and Taylor are the only two that you can really talk about coming in and maybe becoming starters and getting larger workloads. I feel like the rest of these backs are all sort of complementary.
Now you've got that whole Taylor Swift thing in my head, damn it.
Taylor Swift.
And to be honest with you, the level of talent at the running back position in this class is going to cause confusion in fantasy, because you're going to have multiple talented running backs on the same roster who are going to get snaps. And I feel like Clyde is going to end up being one of those guys that gets drafted and sort of torpedoes an incumbent's value. That could possibly happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another guy who potentially could do the same thing is Cam Akers, another day two guy. He overall, you could argue he might have had the best running back performance at the combine. And you look at his production, sort of a mixed bag. I mean, the one thing people always point out, the offensive line at Florida State was not great. But he still was able to put together some really solid numbers. But the other part of it is it didn't have a lot of big chunk plays either. So maybe those two things go hand in hand. And I think people are sort of using that to say that maybe he can be better than what his numbers showed. I thought, you know, is there a chance that we could talk ourselves into him being a workhorse back, or is he sort of like, you know, like a CEH, sort of destined to be part of a platoon wherever he goes?
I mean, he did catch 30 passes in 11 games last season. So it's not like he's a bad pass catcher. He's shown that he can do it. He's a physical dude, averaged 5 yards per attempt at Florida State. And again, you had mentioned it, that offensive line didn't do him any favors. So I feel like he's a future starter in the league. Hell, I mean, there's Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Rams. There are places out there that have maybe a starter in place that isn't a long-term option. Like Todd Gurley's only on a one-year deal, for example. James Conner's got 1 year left on his contract, for example. So there are places that Cam Akers can go and potentially be more of a dynasty league snag than a redraft snag. But I think at some point, he's got the capability to be a starter in this league, no question about it.
Yeah, I do, but I do think he's a guy who's going to be, I think, a lot more popular, obviously, dynasty leagues than redraft leagues. I've seen one mock that has him going in the late second round, into the second round, to the Chiefs. So I guess if Kansas City passes on a running back in the first round, then they go after him in the second round, which, I mean, I guess is nice, but I think that still leaves us in that same mess with, you know, Damian Williams, DeAndre Washington, and anybody else who's going to be back there. Sort of all sharing snaps and kind of keeping us frustrated like that. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned J.K. Dobbins a little bit earlier, a guy who put up huge numbers, was a bell cow at Ohio State. I think has been described more as kind of a lunch pail guy than having, you know, being such a big dazzler or anything like that. Just kind of a guy who shows up. I guess if you want to say he's a blue collar runner, if you want something like that, gets the job done. I know some of this depends on where he lands. Is he another guy that you're looking at in redrafts, or are we thinking just more dynasty league with him potentially?
Again, it depends on where he lands, but he's going to have more dynasty league value without question. Dobbins is actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the best back out of this class because there's so much talent here. I mean, dude's a physical specimen. He's really good on inside runs. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's also good in pass protection. So he's got the tools to be a three down back. Again, I would say that landing in Pittsburgh, for example, would be good for him from a fantasy perspective. Maybe not right away. And I know we love immediate gratification, but long term, that could be a great spot for JK. Tampa Bay would be a great spot. And honestly, it's you know, we boil it down to these you know, four or five teams, right, Marcus? It's all Miami, Tampa Bay, Kansas City long term, Pittsburgh long term, maybe Atlanta long term. These are the teams that we're looking at in terms of running back need. And so Dobbins is not like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is going to be in a committee. J.K. Dobbins can be a three-down back at the next level. And it all depends on what team pulls the trigger on him. Kansas City could do it at some point, maybe in the second round. That would be maybe not great initially, but long-term, man, look out. Look out.
You know, a team we talk about when you talk about long-term running back needs and one that we don't maybe think about immediately, it's got to be Tennessee, right? I mean, obviously Derrick Henry's been fantastic, but he's coming near the end of his rookie deal. And the question has to be asked whether or not the Titans are going to want to pay him whatever it is he's going to want. I mean, it's going to be a huge number. I mean, I'm sure Derrick Henry danced a little dance when he saw Christian McCaffrey get his contract. You know, I'm sure guys like Saquon danced a little dance when they saw that. The question is, do the Titans want to pay that sort of money or do they want to go somewhere else? And, you know, they could be a sneaky team that decides in the third or fourth round, maybe we're going to take a running back. And so I think J.K. Dobbins, I'm not necessarily saying he lands there, but that could be a team to kind of look out for.
What if Tennessee decides to draft Edwards-Helaire?
Right. That's possible.
Completely different skill set than Derrick Henry. And, I mean, Henry's not a guy who's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. You give Ryan Tannehill another weapon in the passing game because right now you've got A.J. Brown's tremendous. Corey Davis has been a disappointment so far. I think Jonnu Smith could take the next step with Delanie Walker no longer on the roster. And, I mean, Tashae Sharpe is now in Minnesota. Deion Lewis is now with the Giants. So,
right?
I mean,
yeah.
Could be a fit.
Could definitely be a fit. I'll also throw Jacksonville into that mix because Leonard Fournette is coming to near the end of his contract. Although he started catching the football more.
Dude, that guy was... If it wasn't for his pass catching, which is weird to say because it's Leonard Fournette and you just don't think of him as this
guy. Don't think of it.
If it wasn't for his pass catching, he would have not done well last season in fantasy because the touchdown totals were not good.
Yeah, what do you have, three touchdowns, I think, all last year?
He had 70 catches ballpark.
Right.
He was unreal.
Yeah. So, but they could be the Jaguars could be another team that maybe a year or two are looking at what they're doing with their running back situation. So there you go. Last name to really kind of get into a little bit is Zach Moss, a guy out of the University of Utah. You know, I got to see a little bit of him because, you know, I watch a lot of Pac-12 football. Another guy who's sort of just a tiny bit, just a smidge. A late day two, early day three projection on him right now. I mean, he's a guy who potentially, like, he could be fun to watch. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who could, like, burn hot and then, like, you know, burn out quickly. Just a guy who's, the one thing I think about when I see him is violence. That is his running style. I mean, he does not shy away from contact. He will go in the middle and he will go in there hard. That's another way that you sort of worry about his durability long term because he does not shy away from taking hits. But he also sort of feels to me like Faz, like he's just another guy who's a platoon back who could be a short yardage kind of a bully with a team that sort of needs that sort of thing. But I struggle to think that Zach Moss is going to be a big time, you know, kind of front line running back that, you know, especially that one in redrafts, he's kind of more of a, even in dynasty drafts, I think you're talking about a mid to late round guy there.
And he had sort of injured himself there at the combine. I think he had like a hamstring, but when you look at him during his collegiate days, he's a power running back. He's really tough to tackle. Yards after contact, machine potentially at the next level. But yeah, I don't see him as a three down back. He is a guy that will get drafted to be a backup and involved in some sort of committee situation at the next level.
Yeah. A couple of the names that just, I think I'm putting him in here because I've seen them show up on my timeline a lot from the draft Knicks that I follow, a lot of folks in draft Twitter. Darrington Evans, Antonio Gibson. Look, I think they're guys that, again, you know, if you are a dynasty truther and you're trying to get ahead of the curve, maybe you're kind of keeping them on your radar a little bit. Gibson's an interesting one just because he's sort of this weird running back wide receiver hybrid. And if we're moving to an era of positionless football, maybe he sort of has that. Mm-hmm. But you know, these are guys that they're not frontline guys. You're probably not going to hear their name called until maybe day three in a lot of situations. But I know Fabs, we have people who follow us who are deep into the dynasty life. And who are trying to get ahead of everybody else? Some of those development league folks,
sure,
that are digging deep. So yeah, well, just a couple of names I'm just throwing out.
Darrington Evans did really well at the combine. He actually was second in the 40 at the running back position behind Jonathan Taylor. And if you look at and I wrote columns about this in terms of what Gil Brandt's target marks are in the combine per position, and if these guys are hitting multiple marks, that's a good indication that they're going to be pretty good prospects at the next level. And Evans, I mean, he ranked in the top 10 in all but one of those drills. He was 11th in the bench press. Now, he had DNPs and the three cone and the 20-yard shuttle. But other than that, everything he did, he was tremendous. Again, top 10 in everything but one, and he was 11th in bench press. So somebody to keep an eye on. Late in drafts, a name to remember, but
just a name to remember.
Certainly not someone who's going to pop in redrafts.
No, you're not gonna see these guys in redrafts. You know, and I think even for dynasty folks, you may not get a lot of value out of them in 2020. It may be, you know, 2021 and beyond when you start to see some of these guys get some attention there. I don't know. Anything we missed? Any other guys? I know you've been kind of digging into some of these guys.
Yeah, a couple of other names. A.J. Dillon at Boston College. He's like Derrick Henry. He's just a freaking hammer. I mean, so he wouldn't be a three-down back, but he could potentially be an early down, in between the tackles, goal line option, no matter where he goes. Anthony McFarlane out of Maryland has been getting a lot of attention, too, on social media. He averaged nearly 7 yards a carry with the Terrapins, and he's pretty good pass catcher as well, so he's a name that you might want to pay a little bit of attention to as well. Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt, probably going to be like a day three draft pick. Good inside runner. He doesn't project to be like a top tier running back, but could end up being a committee back. And then Eno Benjamin out of Arizona State caught 77 passes in his last two seasons with the Sun Devils. Again, someone who's elusive, but probably a committee back. So those are some of the other names to keep tabs on as we get closer to the draft next week.
Yeah, and we'll talk about wide receivers on Tuesday's show, but it's interesting because you mentioned Eno Benjamin, and then there's a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, out of Arizona State, who are starting to get a little bit of love right now. And I think it's interesting because, look, their head coach is Herm Edwards. And you want to talk about a guy who knows how to create NFL talent, who knows what it takes to play in the NFL. It's Herm Edwards. So, I mean, maybe there's some names that we should pay attention to.
There's been talk that he could end up getting drafted at the end of the first round because not only is he going to be useful as a receiving prospect, but he's also pretty good at special teams as a return man, too. So his name, Denzel Mims, is another. And we'll talk Mims about this stuff next week.
Yeah.
But Denzel Mims, his stock is moving up, too. He could be a first round pick.
Yeah, his name has been really hot.
And another one, Michael Pittman.
Whoa. Michael Pittman. Yeah, I was gonna say Michael Pittman until we got to Tuesday. But yeah, he's a guy that I mean, obviously, emotionally, I definitely want him to succeed. But I think intellectually, just using my head, I think there are avenues for Michael Pittman to have a really nice NFL career.
His dad, right?
Was the Michael Pittman who was the Bucs running back? Yes,
Cardinals too. That dude, you remember the freaking arms on him? He was like Hulk Hogan of NFL running backs when he
just
played.
Just ridiculous arms.
I mean, the guy, like my head, like this guy's arms were giant. Do you remember him, Eddie? Michael Pittman? Pittman was a pretty decent fantasy back during his career. But the thing I always remember That dude had guns for days, man. Like, you think McCaffrey's got guns? Go look at Michael Pittman during his prime.
Yeah.
That guy was built like a you-know-what brick boop house.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So now, yeah, his son is draft eligible. I've even seen, we'll talk about it, but I've even seen him, you know, mocked up to Tampa Bay in some situations.
And Tampa Bay, where his dad think went. About it. They lost Perriman. They could be in the market for a wide receiver in the draft.
Very much.
Very possible.
Very much so.
Very possible.
Very much so. So, so that's just a taste of what we're going to talk about on Tuesday. So come back for that. I mean, it's not like you guys have anywhere to go. So come on back, right. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday. So there you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading and listening and watching, as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, age isn't important unless you're cheese. Take care of yourself. We'll see you on Tuesday.